The future of recording now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's currently 3 degrees at Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Matthew Micheli. Here are today's headlines. Mixed reviews of Quebec's budget, fighting for free tuition, Laval police promise reforms. Reaction is pouring in following François Legault's last budget before the fall election. One highlight, a $500 payout for roughly 6.4 million people. This $500 is for every Quebecer who makes $100,000 or less. If you qualify, you'll receive the $500 automatically, as long as you file your tax return for 2021. If you don't pay your taxes, do not try to have this $500. At least, if you don't want to go to jail trip if you're not paying your taxes. Speaking of illegality, be careful to not fall for fakes. A scam artist was sending fraudulent texts that make it look like people need to click a link to get that $500 payment. It will now be more expensive for Quebecers to switch to electric cars. In the new budget, the rebate a Quebecer could get when purchasing a fully electric or hybrid car significantly decreased. Esme Bell has the story.
On April 1st, the maximum rebate a Quebecer could receive while purchasing a fully electric car will drop from $8,000 to $7,000. With a decrease of the rebate, electric cars could become even more inaccessible to Quebecers. Part of the reasoning behind the decrease is the belief that the cost of electric cars are going down. President of the Corporation des Concessionnaires Automobiles du Québec, Robert Poitty, says that is not actually the case.
The difference between the price of gasoline vehicle, electric vehicle, and hybrid vehicle isn't going down. That's not true.
Poitty believes that could be the case in a few years, but we are not there yet. Leader of the Parti Québécois, Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon, believes there should have been an increase in incentive for Quebecers to switch to electric cars. He wants families in the province to have more affordable options with the increasing price of gas.
So that you allow families who maybe could not afford an electrical car or a FEV model, that they can afford it so that they become free from the pump.
Patrick Bonnet from Green Priest agrees that the CAQ government is lacking in its ability to encourage the population to switch to a greener option.
And what the government is proposing is a weak mandate that wouldn't change anything on the market because it's not restrictive enough.
With the current climate crisis, some politicians, such as Liberal leader Dominique Anglade, are worried about the lack of change from cars that run on gas to electric or hybrid cars.
This government has no vision whatsoever regarding the climate crisis.
It is unclear what the plan will be for electric car rebates in 2023. For Concordia News, I'm Esme Bale.
In response to the last budget of the CAQ government, many community organizations said they are disappointed with the small increase in the subsidies given. The executive director of the Regroupement des Maisons des Jeunes du Québec said that the crying needs of community organizations have clearly not been heard despite their historic mobilization in the recent weeks. In the same way, many disappointed, the announced objectives will be far from covering the needs for social housing. However, the Alliance des Maisons d'Hébergement de Deuxième Étage said they welcome the Girard budget, which includes expected funding for domestic violence. A sudden jump in hospitalizations has everyone asking, is it too soon to take off our masks? Tuesday saw around 1,000 Quebecers hospitalized, and reports estimate even more cases to be seen by the end of today. Experts believe a sixth wave could be aided by taking everyone's mask away too soon. Gabriella, what exactly are the experts saying?
Well, they're saying that the current spike in cases is being seen as a direct result of COVID restrictions being lifted, such as having businesses open to full capacity. I spoke to Caroline Quash, a virology researcher, and she says the decision to remove our masks should not be treated lightly.
If we remove the mask mandate too soon, we may see a rise in cases which would contribute to a sixth wave, especially if we lift the mandate within public spaces, which is where we've seen a lot of the infections happen.
And what has been the government's reaction to these concerns?
Well, they insisted that the decision to remove our mask would only be taken under strict direction from health experts. But of course, the government has previously established that they are prepared to remove all face mask requirements from public spaces by mid-April, only with the exception of public transportation. So in part, it seems as if they've already made their intentions clear. It would probably take a severe health concern to change their minds. And so far, this doesn't seem to change much.
We follow what the public health will tell us. What's important is if the public health say we can remove it at that day, people who want to keep it, it's not an obligation to take it off.
And moving forward, what will be the priority then?
Well, right now they're emphasizing that the priority is to incentivize people to acquire a third dose of the vaccine and continue to enforce regulations currently in place until April. We'll have to wait and see if the concerns of health experts will be enough to change the government's planned course of action.
Thank you, Gabriella. 10 years later, after one of Maple Springs' largest protests, SEGEP and university students decided to gather in the street of Montreal. Around 80,000 students were counted on strike yesterday, echoing the 2012 protest. The goal of this rally is not over yet, as Concordia students have decided to camp out in the hall of the university's main downtown Montreal building. Our reporter Adrian Gardner has the information. Adrian, where does this movement come from and why now?
So to understand all of this better, we need to go back 10 years back. And this fight is about the general accessibility to education for everybody and the access to free tuition. Students still see the same problem as a decade ago.
We're trying to build back organizing infrastructure that was lost during the pandemic. Build student movements. And that starts with spaces like this where we can create a bit of autonomy within the institution.
Can you tell us what these Concordia students are aiming to do by camping out there?
Well, from what I've seen, this movement is actually bringing people together to a point where ideas about student life and education are being shared constantly. People also seem to be using this place as a support group, with a number of people struggling that are sleeping actually overnight in the camping area, in the main building. Sorry.
Teach each other, speak with each other, meet each other. As I mentioned in the General Assembly's practice direct democracy, we have this schedule of workshops. We're holding workshops.
And what's next? Will there be any more protests or movements as such?
Well, this fight for education accessibility comes with a lot of events. Students have schedules with conferences and assembly meetings multiple times during the week, and constant idea brainstorming in the camp, in the main hall building at Concordia. Events just keep on going.
There was a divest occupation at McGill the last couple weeks. There's this year at Concordia. There was a massive student strike yesterday across the province. And so we're seeing momentum building again.
Thank you, Adrian. A factory in Sherbrooke blew up just 3 hours ago. As of now, more than one person has been reported injured, but the seriousness of the injuries are not yet known. Conditions of the explosions have not been released, but police are already on the scene and have blocked circulation on Boulevard Bouc. A massive column of smoke was visible for miles around. The Centre de Valorisation de l'Aliment will surely have a big material damage. This morning, the Laval police announced their plan for better relations between citizens and police forces. The Justice and Equity program includes 7 main points concerning diversity, information, recruiting, and communication, among other things. However, not everyone's convinced. Yvan de Jacquelin reports.
The Laval police apparently think they've figured out how to solve discrimination. This morning on their website, a fancy 7 steps program was unveiled, sounding as familiar as an alcoholic in a rehab who swears he's never gonna drink again. That program, called Justice and Equity, they say is the product of many citizen consultations since 2020. Within this plan, the SPL wants to instate better recruiting, better contact with the population, more formation for police, and so on. But will it actually solve anything? Edward Gay, the publisher of Black Community Newspaper Community Contact, doesn't think so.
Admitting that there is a problem is okay, but it certainly is not something for us to go to the bank with. Because what we want to see from the police is a total readjustment of the way they deal with minorities.
On their side, the police of Laval are taking a pledge to not tolerate any form of discrimination.
It's important that justice and equity are visible and felt, not only in the relationship with our citizens, but also in the actions of our police officers.
But hey, at least they're trying to do something about it, even if the medium or the message might not be the most effective. For Concordia News, I'm Ivan de Jacquelin.
Or sports news today, the Blue Jackets re-signed a Montrealer, the women's curling team wins a second game in a row, and a tennis legend retires. Valérie Bayer has all our sports news.
Many tennis fans are shocked that the top-ranked women's tennis player, Ashleigh Barty, announced her retirement at the age of 25.
I'm so happy and I'm so ready, and I just know at the moment in my heart, for me as a person, this is right.
The Australian player announced her retirement 2 months after winning the Australian Open. She won 3 Grand Slam singles titles and spent more than 2 years as the number one women tennis player in the world. Barty no longer feels compelled to be at her best in tennis. She wants to chase other dreams, such as pursuing golf. Ash Barty announced her commitment to training golf professional Gary Kisick last November.
Canada will pick up the win. Take the final 10-4 is Canada.
The Canadian women's curling team won their match against Japan in the 9th frame, making this the team's second win in a row of the 2022 Women's World Curling Championship. The Canadians never allowed Japan to get back in the game by scoring twice in the 2nd and 4th ends. The team is getting back into action against Sweden as of right now. Montreal-born baseball player, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signed a 1-year deal worth $7.9 million with the Toronto Blue Jays in order to avoid arbitration. Last year was a season breakthrough for Guerrero Jr., hitting for .311 with 48 home runs and 111 RBIs in 161 games. The first and third baseman will play his 4th season with the Blue Jays this year. Toronto also agreed with terms with 9 other players, including Kevin Biggio and Teoscar Hernandez.
For the line, Sharon Govic shoots, scores!
The New Jersey Devils beat the New York Rangers in an exciting 11-goal game. After scoring 5 unanswered goals in the second period, the Devils managed to win 7-4. The 2019 first overall selection Jack Hughes scored his 20th and 21st goal of the season, and for the Rangers, Chris Kreider scored his 42nd goal of the season, a career high, and makes him tied in second place with Leon Draisaitl for most goals in the NHL.
Here's Young, sizes up Gibson, around him, shoots, and hits!
Lastly, Trae Young led the Atlanta Hawks to 117-111 victory with 45 points against the New York Knicks. This is the Hawks' 36th win of the season as they try to stay in the run for a playoff spot.
Thank you so much, Valérie. For the Guinness World Records, a British competitive eater broke a record when she ate 19 chicken nuggets in 1 minute. Her name is Lee Shotkever. She's from England's West Midlands, and she attempted to eat 20 nuggets in 1 minute, but she failed by one. The Guinness said she ate a total of 12.42 ounces of chicken nuggets. The previous record was from Nella Ziller, who ate 10.51 ounces of chicken nuggets in 2020. Shotkever previously earned Guinness World Record for the fastest time to eat a 3-mince pie, fastest time to eat a muffin without her hand, most more marshmallow eaten in 1 minute without her hands, and many other records. In the forecast tomorrow, we will have a little snow to start the day, which will turn into rain around 9 a.m. for an average temperature of 5 degrees. The rest of the week will also be rainy and snowy, but at least we started to see the end of the winter approaching. That is your news to 11:30 in 4 seconds. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Matteo Micelli.